question for you.
What is it, Mallory?
Did your mom drop an iron on your face as a baby, or were you just born?
That depends. Did you always have that misshapen mushroom on your face that you call a nose?
Oh, you have smart math today. How about I fix that? Hold her. You want to get smart with me, loser? Hopefully that'll teach you a lesson.
Sweetheart, how was school today?
Fine.
Where did you get that shiner?
It's not there.
Did Mallory Jenkins have a fight with you again?
She just punched me, okay?
Why'd she do that?
I simply stated that her nose resembled a misshapen mushroom.
You know, Mallory just wants to get a reaction out of you. Just ignore her.
She'd still beat me up even if I did ignore her. She just likes to make fun of me because I'm ugly.
You're not ugly.
Tell that to Mallory Jenkins.
You know, just for the record, I think Mallory Jenkins' nose looks like a squashed tomato.
You're right.
Come on, it's time to go.
He would get us shipped off to this forsaken hunk of ice, but then he got his big break and forgot all about us.
That's terrible.
Never trust a funny looking reindeer.
That's terrible.
You're the first outsider who came to this island. I suppose all. Forget all about us, but I might as well show you around.
Don't take this the wrong way, but can you actually walk?
Oh, I can't personally show you around. I let Sadie do that.
Who's Sadie? I'm Sadie. How do you do? Hi, I'm Madge. Nice to meet you. Come, I'll introduce you to the others. Madge, meet Birdlin, Ellie, and Kingly.
Madge.
It's nice to meet you all. How long have you all been here?
Oh, years and years. Children probably don't even play with dolls anymore.
No, they still play with dolls.
Oh dear, we're never going to get out of here.
I'm sorry, don't cry. What did I say?
You know how she does that sometimes. Sadie has been here the longest and she has lost her.
Well, maybe I could take you guys home with me.
Ignore her. That could never happen.
Yeah. Has to be a trick. I mean, why would a nice girl like you want funny-looking toys like us?
Well, I'm a misfit, too. People in my school are always calling me ugly. Well, you guys aren't funny-looking either, so I guess we're perfect.
Well, this is all very nice, but the thing is, you can't just take us.
Why not?
Well, you'd have to go through Queen Angel.
Wait, I thought King Moonracer ruled this land, and he seemed plenty happy to let you guys go in the movie.
Well, that was before he left. Now, his daughter, Queen Angel, rules the island. She's not so interested in our happiness.
Well, then I'm just going to have to go convince her.
Oh, if you're sure.
It's quicker for this.
Okay, we're going to this stop watching.
Exactly what I say. They can't leave because nobody wants them.
Well, I want them.
Forgive me, but aren't you a little old to be playing with toys?
Well, aren't you a little old to be ruling them?
How dare you?
Madge, it's no use. Her Majesty won't let you take us.
Why are you so adamant about their staying here anyway?
What's it to you?
I just want to know. I mean, they're all so sad here.
What's the point of being queen if I have no subjects to rule? Besides, everyone's forgotten their past. Who says you won't forget them, too?
Well, I might. After all, I am only human. But there's one person who will never forget them.
Who's that?
God. Luke 12:6 states, "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies, and yet not one of them is forgotten by God?"
Last I checked, none of them are sparrows, except maybe the bird fish thing, and that doesn't even count as a bird.
It's symbolism. It means that not one, not the spottiest elephant or the shyest doll, is forgotten by God.
It doesn't seem like I'm going to be able to stop you, and if I do, there will be a rebellion. Fine, take this toys.
Yay! Yay!
Madge, it's time for school. You're going to be late.
I'm coming.
Aren't you a little old to be playing with dolls?
No. You're a freak.
Yep, and proud of it.
Everyone should have a Charlie in the box, all right? Woo! Well, thank you, Kelsey Canelli and the drama video team. They did a great job. I really, that was, thanks to everybody, particularly all the families that contributed to that. And that specifically fits our theme for today, which is kind of one of my things, is Christmas specials. So, and today, this fit our teaching and reminder today that God's view is not necessarily our view or others' view. It's obviously from the Christmas special that's shown every Christmas, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and we actually played that downstairs during our teen group party. That premiered in 1964, and I was only a year old when that came out, if you can believe it, so don't count the years. And my favorite character from that special is Yukon Cornelius. He's a character, and I just wanted to share from that five things that I've learned from him that I think are life lessons that you should learn too. And the first thing I remembered from, or I've learned from Yukon Cornelius is, these are the five things I've learned from Yukon Cornelius. Any kind of dog can be used to pull a sled. And if you hadn't noticed, there's five different kinds of dogs: St. Bernard, Dachshund, Poodle, Cocker Spaniel, and a Collie. And you look at it yourself, you'll see that they're not one of them are the same, and there's five specifically. An ice break makes a great raft, right? Another thing that I learned from him is the area of nonviolence with Yukon Cornelius. And never draw your gun. Ever. No matter what's happening. Another important issue or thing, local metallurgy can be determined by taste. Nothing. Right? No gold there. What's the number one thing that we learn from Yukon Cornelius? And you guys will know this one, right? Bumbles bounce, right? We know that. Bumbles bounce, right? So the other characters that are from that show are kind of synonymous with the, kind of the idea, including Yukon Cornelius, is that with the idea that everyone, we should treat everyone with respect, including misfits or those who are different from us, with kindness, fairness, and the way we wish to be treated. Well, that's no different than what the Bible says. From Philippians, do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves, right? Well, we're to treat others as we wish to be treated, right? An important and timeless message. But what if we're on the receiving end, kind of the way Rudolph was in the Misfit Toys, of the mistreatment? What if we're told that we don't have value, or we're a misfit, that we're ugly, like what we saw in our play, or weird, or we are abandoned? What if we begin to believe what we're told? I was thinking about this today is, you know, name-calling, for example. You ever hear, you know, we hear the phrase, sticks and stones will never, can break my bones, but names will never hurt me. That's not really true, right? They do hurt. Name-calling can hurt us. In fact, when we're called a name, what's our natural reaction? To respond with another bad name, right? Because we want to hurt them back. So it can hurt you. And the danger is, what if we begin to believe that what we're told, like Madge in our play, she says, I'm ugly. She believed she was ugly. So when we talk about the traumas and difficulties in our life, the real issue is not that they happened, but what we do with them. So in essence, if we believe something about ourselves that's not true, or about who we are in Christ, we are placed ourselves on an emotional island, on the island of Misfit Toys, which seemed like a very unpleasant place to be, an icy cold place that is more tolerable than dealing with real life. Waiting for King Moonracer, if you remember that was his name, to fix it, or to our circumstances to change so that things we believe are no longer true. So the truth is that we What put us there is our own heart, what we believe, what we truly believe about ourselves or others. And it is our own heart that we can really lead. So let's pray, and we'll kind of investigate this metaphor a little bit more and have some fun with it, I hope. So, Lord, we just ask that as we look at this and we kind of have some fun with what you maybe are saying to us. What's these metaphors mean? What do these different toys kind of maybe mean for us in our lives? Maybe there's something we're telling ourselves or we believe about ourselves that isn't true because of what you said. What you say is true. What we think may not be true. And Lord, we just thank you so much for your truth in our lives. In your name, amen. All right. So as we, you guys remember the different toys. I hope everyone has seen this particular special. It's okay if you haven't. But we saw some of the toys in our drama today. And we definitely saw Charlie in the box, right? Saw Charlie in the box. We saw Scooter for Jimmy, right? Dolly for Sue in our play. She was given a name, Sadie. And the spotted elephant, the train. What was wrong with the train? Square wheels, spotted elephant. I don't know what was wrong with the scooter. It doesn't appear to be anything wrong other than it's got a face on it. What was wrong with the squirt gun? Squirted jelly. Squirted jelly, right, very good. What's wrong with the dolly? Cries a lot, I guess. You know, depressed, depressive dolly. I've looked, there's whole web pages devoted to what's wrong with dolly. So the bird fish that swims, cowboy is on what? An ostrich. Right. Very good. What's wrong with the boat? The boat sinks. It doesn't float. And then we start getting to more obscure that aren't mentioned, but we got our bear with wings, which we saw in our play. So I guess it's got wings. We have an airplane, which we believe can't fly, we assume. Then there's the kind of the wind-up mouse and a set of nesting clown dolls, which I guess that's a misfit. And then this is where we really start getting, we have no clue what's wrong with them. Toy soldiers, they seem okay. Boat, this doesn't work, we assume. The pink fire truck should be red. The car, that's a car. Comes out in one scene. This is the a rocking horse, and then there's a cat. So a pulk toy cat. So 50% of the toys, we can't identify anything wrong with them. It's just for statistics, if you're keeping track, you know, what's going on here. So 19 toys in all. So we know with this island, you know, they're showing a lot of toys here. They're there because they're misfits, or they don't fit in, or they're unwanted. Maybe there's really nothing wrong with them. They're just unwanted, or they think they're unwanted. They've been rejected and abandoned. So they're brought to this island, which is better. We're a better place. Okay, if you're really feeling sad and you're going to be, you don't want to feel abandoned alone, we'll take you to an island at the North Pole that's made of ice, where you guys can kind of all hang out. And so they wait for things to change, right? Or Santa's going to come, or some child will want them. What do they believe about themselves? Charlie is the first thing he says. Charlie in the box says, no child would ever want to play with a Charlie in the box, right? No child would ever want to play with a Charlie box. And then the others say something similar in that effect. So together they say, we're all misfits. They individually say, again, what child or no child would want to play with me? Later we see that that's not true, right? What does Santa do? We watched this last night to confirm. What does Santa do to them? Nothing. He picks them up and throws them at kids, right? off the sleigh, right? Here, okay, here's a if you remember, he gives him a umbrella. It says, "There you go, get out into the world." So he gives him to some child. And remember, and it was interesting, the bird fish thing wasn't given an umbrella. But if he couldn't fly, don't analyze these too closely. It's just, we saw it. I know, Jonathan and I were watching. He's like, whoa, there he just left. Ah! That probably hopefully worked out well. The one thing we noticed is the train left without the caboose, so they just Anna, well, there you go, you know, you're done. You're all set. The thing that about this lie that they believe is it's very strong because they acted as if it was true. So the true is not the result. The result is the same. As if it was true. They're on the island anyway. If they really were misfits, if they really were rejected, they'd be on the island. If they just believe that they were rejected, they're still on the island. So if you believe something that's not true, it might as well be. We may, in the same way, believe on some level something similar about ourselves that is not true, but because we believe it, it might as well be. As our actions and feelings still put in our little, we put ourselves in our little island of misfit toys, where we stay away from everybody. And it may be cold and miserable, but it's safe. It's a safe place to be. And let me show you what I mean. I'm going to use our different friends as metaphors. And we're going to start with Charlie. He's the first person that greets both in our play and in the special. And what does he say? No child would ever want to play with the Charlie in the box. Or rephrased, I have a bad or incorrect name or label that makes me unacceptable. And looks like Charlie's lie is no. Look at it. Often these types of things contain an element of eternity. Never. No one. All. No one would ever forever want to play with me. In our drama, Mallory called Madge ugly, and Madge actually said, she just likes to bully me because I'm ugly. And then later she says, I am ugly. It's a strong eternal sentiment, like I'll always be this way. And I think we say those types of things to ourselves. It's a strong eternal statement, and it's a chunk, a label. If you could take a stamp, and you would put that on your forehead. Ugly. Stupid. Wrong. Misfit. Intolerant. Lazy. Unwanted. And it takes on a kind of an eternal form in our own hearts. But what does God say about his truth? Okay, so we talk about reading, you know, we talk about reading the Bible and so on. A couple of things that he says about himself. He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Truth has an eternal element too. They will never pass away. It will always be true of you. They'll always be true of you. And always be true of God. Later, Santa delivers him to some child again. Does he change Charlie's name? I didn't observe that. I don't think he did. He didn't say, all right, now we're just going to cross out Charlie. I'm going to write Jack just so you're acceptable. He delivered him just the way he was, right? That's the way God delivers us. He delivers us to the world just the way we are, with the name that we have. Madge didn't change his name when she took him. She didn't change her own name. So what does that mean? Well, it wasn't true. Charlie was acceptable without changing his name. Look at that. But now, thus says the Lord, your creator, Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine, he says. Romans 9:26 says that he called you children of the living God. The truth is, it doesn't matter what Charlie was named by others. And it doesn't matter what others might label us or might call us. What is true is what he says. That's the label, or that's the stamp that overrides everything else. God's words, truth, feelings, and thoughts to you override it. The world's pathetic attempt to put us in a box. No pun intended. Let's look at another toy. The spotted elephant. And the spotted elephant, this is about kind of appearance. And what he says is, and who would want a spotted elephant? Kind of similar. Okay, as yet an elephant, he's an elephant, but if only I didn't have spots. Do you know how many spotted elephant toys there are out there, first of all? You could buy lots of elephants, lots of different colors. And spotted is one of them. So he obviously hadn't been on the internet. You can get any kind of elephant you want. Everyone would like me if I was more attractive, is kind of what this is about. Had a better hairdo, more muscular, cooler looking, better face, looked like that person on TV. I'm a misfit because of the way I look. I don't fit in. Thus God made me wrong. Right? That's what we might feel. Did God make us? Yes, especially the way we're supposed to be. For you were formed, my inward parts, you wove me in my mother's womb. Now, elephant, spotted elephant is not formed that way, but we are. He made us specifically to be the way we were made. You might not feel that way, but that's what he says about you. Also, we saw that the elephant was delivered without being changed. It was taken by Madge without being changed. God made that special elephant for a special child. He's made you. God made you special just the way you are, especially for the people in your life. Spotted is in, and so are you, always. Our next toy. The boat that doesn't float. And who would want... He just kind of says, or on, you know, a boat that doesn't float. Who would want a non-floating boat? This is about kind of about a performance. I can't do it, thus I am useless, worthless, or unwanted. And more labels are... And other labels based on our performance. And mostly, this is a judgment of ourselves. I don't do this or that well enough, so I won't do it at all. And so we go back to the island and wait and do nothing, right? I'm not very good at sharing my faith, so I shouldn't do it at all or ever. I'm not good at, you know, ministry things, so I shouldn't do it all. I'm not as good as this person, or I'm not good as that person, so I won't do it because I'll just mess it up. As I'll always mess it up. I'm always dysfunctional. I'm not a good speaker or good at music or anything really, so not really good for nothing. And so Satan piles on the lies. That's his great way to divide and conquer, cut you down, and get you out of the game. But according to the Lord, everyone, that's the truth, another eternal, is important. And I'll just read a little bit of this. And for even as the body is one, this is from 1 Corinthians 12:12, and yet has many members, and all, not some, all of the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot were to say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body. Because I'm not on the music team, or I'm not a good speaker, or I'm not good with this, I'm not part of the body. I'm not really a contributor. I'm not important. God, who has so composed the body, given more abundant honor to that member which has lacked, so that which we may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all of them suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. I cut out some of the other verses in there. If you can read that whole thing. I can't run a ministry, thus I'm unimportant. You know, you guys, if you remember Ernie, would we say Ernie is unimportant? Or was unimportant to us? Or that VA, she couldn't play the piano anymore. Well, neither can a baby, right? Are they unimportant? Are they because of their performance? We would not say that. We would say, but God is so composed by giving more abundant honor to that member. We got to see it in that particular, in their lives, particularly. We have inherent value because of who God made us to be, not what the world says is valuable and worthwhile or dealing with performance. That's not what it's about. The boat also went to a child, right? Unchanged, right? Even though it didn't float. Many boats, toy boats, do not float. If you make it out of Legos, I can tell you it will not float. Yes, that's very sad. Here's this Dolly. I love Dolly because no one knows what's wrong with her. But really, she says several things that I think is interesting. She says she's a Dolly for Sue. And later she said, we'll never get off the island. Will never, ever happen. And some of us have been in our little personal purgatory for a while. And you don't feel like you'll ever leave it or can ever escape it. You want to, but then you don't want to leave, in a sense. I can promise you, when he returns, every tear will be wiped off, including hers. Even though she's not real. I probably should say. What else does she say? She says, I don't have any dreams left to dream. Right? That's a pretty powerful statement. And I'm kind of spent. It's kind of where I think she's coming from. And because they keep saying, well, maybe next year, maybe this, I'm done. You know, I don't have any dreams left to dream. Our circumstances, though, this is the thing for humans, and for dollies too, our circumstances do not define us. They may be used to train us, but they are not us. They are not who we are. They may be what we're doing, but not who we are. Viktor Frank said, when you cannot change your circumstances, the challenge is to change yourself. He was a 4-time concentration camp survivor. I think he had an interesting view on circumstances. Paul said this while he was in prison. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. What makes her a misfit? Nothing, as far as we can tell. She just believed she was, and so she stayed on the island and cried. But she was delivered well. She was delivered too, we assume. We checked it again. We did not see her actually go out. She's in the bag somewhere, is what we think. But she was taken. Santa took her, right? She left the island. You can leave the island too. We may believe we're stuck or trapped, and the truth is we are free. We're already free. We only are trapped in our own little emotion gauge. So how can I be free? Well, the same way we're freed from sin, and that answer is Jesus, right? Jesus said, the truth will set you free. Well, who is truth? Jesus. You know, if you go to Jesus to find your truth, you go to Jesus to find your truth. If you keep seeking for your answers from your iPhone or from television programs or looking to the government, the church even, or the people or relationships, or even to me for this kind of answers, I'll say what John the Baptist says, I am not he. I testify of him who changed me. But I am not him. Don't put your trust in me or the elders or the church or any body of humans for these kind of answers. We can tell you the right answer, but you won't feel that it's true. Doesn't have the authority that he has. He can heal you, and he can go to him, and he says that. He says, but when he, this is what John says, the truth, Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. You can leave the island anytime you want. In James 4:8, it says, draw near to him, and he will draw near to you and deliver you from the island of misfit toys. We're going to pray, and then we're going to have our breaking of bread time. Lord, we thank you so much for this example. Lord, thank you that you heal us, you save us, you have lead us, you freed us, and we are free from our sin. We ask you to free us from these other lies that we might believe, that we're ugly or we're stupid or we're incapable or we're not worthy. You tell us we're worthy. You tell us that you are already saying, well done. And we thank you so much for your blessing upon us, your truth, and ask that we would sit at your feet and listen to it. In your name we pray. Amen. So,
and there's, you know, reasons this is important, many reasons this is important. I was thinking about what kind of thoughts to lead this time with, and Greg kind of prompted me with the message he was giving. I wanted to read from a passage he shared from and just kind of read through his heart for us. He's talking to Israel. The Lord's talking to Israel in this verse. That applies to us too now because we're part of that covenant. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my eyes, and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. So God had this great covenant with the people of Israel, and he made it and he held to it, and he gave entire nations up so that way they would learn and they would be with him and part of that covenant, and he could be with them in love. And that's a big deal. There are times all throughout the Old Testament that God is a God who's good, and he hates evil because of that. And he wanted to, his nature wants to destroy sin, and there are so many times he lift up his hands against us and against Israel, and he would hold them back because he would remember this promise in love, or someone would stand in the gap and say, hey, remember your promise, remember what you said. And he would, and he was holding off until a particular time when his son came, and he would make all of this right, and he would fix all of the evil at one time. The stuff that we would deserve, he would take on himself. And that's what we're here to remember. So just before we break bread together as brothers and sisters, I just think it's good if we have a time of reflection. If you have thoughts or praises you want to lift up to the Lord, now is a good time to do that. Let's get our mind and heart right and in that frame of reference right now. Thank you, Lord, for the riches of your love and glory to us. Amen. All right, so we're going to take communion now, and it's important to take a look at that night when things happened, when Jesus Christ was remembering everything that was going on, this love, this covenant. And as a human being, he had it pretty rough, kind of toward that end part. All of his closest friends betrayed him, pretended they didn't know who he was. Three of them were super close to him, were like brothers. One of them flat out ran away and ratted him out and caused his death. And that same night, he didn't get any sleep. He went and cried for a very long time because he knew what was about to happen. And in the midst of all of this, he was remembering his love for the people, the very people who were ratting him out, the very people who he was coming to save. He was remembering his love for them. And so much so that Paul starts by saying this: the same night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he took the cup. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." And as often as we eat the bread and drink the cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And that's what we're going to do right now as brothers and sisters and believers in Christ. So we're just going to split everyone right down the middle here. If you're on this half, come over here. This half, come over here. And we'll eat and drink together, and then we'll have the band come up and lead us in more worship of our Lord.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Just wanted to cover a few things coming up. Christmas and the Christmas season is coming quickly, and wanted to just connect on some of the activities we have coming over the next 2 weeks. So our last Awana meeting for the year is this Wednesday, and they are going out caroling in the neighborhood on Wednesday. So it is very warm today, but it may not be on Wednesday. So make sure if you're coming as an adult and your kids are dressed appropriately to be outside for about an hour. They're having treats afterwards. If you want to bring a treat to share, that would be great. And a flashlight. And so those types of things. So bring your singing voice. And if you want to come on Wednesday night, normal time, and do some caroling. So it's we've done it in the past, and it's a very touching thing because it used to be a great tradition, and very few people do it anymore. So it's very touching for families to hear these songs. So come on Wednesday if you can. Our Christmas service is a week from today, December 20th. So remember that if there's a neighbor or a friend you could invite to come back to church. A lot of people will come to church and go visit church during Christmas time. So think about that, anyone you can invite. And we are having a Christmas Eve service on December 24th at 7:30. So it'll be, I know some of us will be out of town and traveling, so it'll be a little smaller family, intimate time. If you have some friends, neighbors, please plan on attending. So that is all the, yes. Oh, that's right. I forgot about the Awana meeting. There is an Awana meeting right after the service you do in the library. Directors and leaders meet in the library afterwards, and so don't forget that. Thank you very much. That's our announcements for today. We'll see you in the fellowship hall.